Right.
Oh, are y'all ready? Yeah. We rolling? All right, we're rolling.
Okay, hey, welcome to Snack Time.
Snack Time.
AYC.
Still the podcast.
Still the podcast.
Snack time, though.
Right now, I got Cheetos Flamin' Hot Dill Pickle.
And then I've got Rolled Gold Select Pretzel Twists, basically their version of Dots pretzels.
Yeah, I don't know. Big Pickle's been trying to choke hold Somer this year for some reason.
So we're having a little pickle-themed snack. Okay.
Yep.
So we're going to keep rolling.
Keep going.
We got. We're going to eat some
snacks.
Okay,
check this out. Check this out. As the sound and audio guys have to bleep out this episode already. Okay. So there's a story. It's on Disney Plus called like Flamin' Hot or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So Pastor Sammy Rodriguez pitched the idea. Pitched that story because it's based on a true story.
You said pastor?
He's a pastor.
Okay.
Pastor Sammy Rodriguez, who's like the head of a lot of like a National Association of Hispanic Pastors, and he's a mentor of one of my closest friends, Ellie.
Okay.
Sammy Rodriguez in California knew the true story about the Flamin' Hot flavor. So the guy, they didn't put this in the movie, but I don't believe so. But he actually got saved, and his wife was going to a prayer meeting, and he asked for her to pray so that he could get some creative ideas. And his creative idea he started working on was Flamin' Hot Cheetos. And I'm not even
you think
kidding.
He heard like a sermon on hell or something?
He actually like went to the Lord of like he needed a creative idea because he didn't want to be like from the janitor. So the whole movie is him like working this low position early in Frito-Lay, and then he comes up with the most popular flavor they've ever had.
Right.
A multi-billion dollar flavor. And it actually came from a place of prayer.
There it is, baby.
Not even kidding. That is a legit true part of that story. He said, pray for a creative idea, and he had and Flamin' Hot. So
we're praying
y'all didn't know you were dipping into the gospel.
We're praying for creative ideas
when y'all are trying to slap your ex with a bag of hot Cheetos, you didn't know you've been holding on to the dreams of the gospel.
That manna from heaven.
So, y'all didn't know. Yeah, I told you it was going to relate the Flamin' Hot Cheeto lore. All right, Erica?
We got some live questions for those who are not tuning in live.
Yeah.
We're going to have questions live from Instagram.
Let me crunch them.
That we will answer. That we will answer live right now.
Yeah.
That's what we got. Erica Pack over there. She got the mic. I don't think you can see her, but she got the mic.
Yeah, she's
and she's going to ask some questions that are from Instagram on the spot. All right?
Yeah.
You want to jump in? You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll ask an arrangement of questions.
Okay.
Okay. What is a good chapter or book to start on in the Bible?
Book of Revelation chapter 21.
I was going to go Lamentations, but
the very last, when the new Jerusalem descends upon the earth. And people died the second death in the lake of fire. A good chapter, not the book of Hosea. That's a little rough for the newbies.
I would say the book of John. I would send people to the book of John.
I like Luke because Luke's very detailed. Mm-hmm. So if you're into like details and you want to know a lot more about like John the Baptist, which is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, one of the people the Lord used, Luke is good. But I do recommend John because it reads different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Is it the shortest gospel? Maybe Mark's the shortest.
Mark, you can tell Peter was preaching because it's pretty blunt and pretty straight to it. Hmm. It's a lot like Matthew, but really emphasizes Jesus doing. It's very action-based.
Yep.
So if you want maybe a quicker read, Mark.
Yep.
Mark's always great, too. But John really emphasizes Jesus, Son of God, and that's important. You get that down.
Think along with... I right off the rip wouldn't necessarily recommend the book of Genesis, but at least the first couple chapters of Genesis, so you understand how the world began and God's creation, and then that ties in with how John starts.
Yes.
So actually, John 1 and Genesis 1 have a lot of similarities and tie-ins.
Also, the parable of the prodigal son, great story to first read when you're a new believer, really sums up the gospel in one of the parables that Jesus talks about. Mm. So,
nice.
Great. Good question. Yeah.
Sweet. So another question that's been asked a few times is, what is Nate and Michael's biggest fear?
Ooh.
Biggest fear?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta think about that one. You're scared of snakes. I mean, I know it's not your biggest fear, but like, you don't like snakes, right?
I really don't like snakes. No, I don't. Do not like snakes. Well, one of them had already been realized. I already had a walk through my childhood biggest fear, which was being stranded alone with no contact and no way of getting out. And that happened in Africa. And I had practically.
How old were you?
It was the first and only time I had a panic attack. I was 20. And I was like, this was my greatest childhood fear, is that we are stranded and have no contact and no one to come get us. And it was,
that's scary.
I mean, I had a panic attack, so it was scary. You know, I think the fear, it's not true, but I think the fear is that your children would just go buck wild for me.
Yeah.
Of like,
that
they would.
Where they would come teenagers.
They would reject
and like
the
young
Lord.
Adults.
They would reject the Lord entirely.
Yeah.
And they would reject the Lord entirely, and it would just be this long, arduous process of them coming back to the Lord into their old age.
Yeah.
Like that would not be fun.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of one for them.
Yeah, I mean, mine would probably have something to do with my kids, like them dying.
It's more
or
my kids.
Them, yeah.
My kids' base. Not
in heights,
not
you know.
Tough.
She'd be all right.
She can handle it.
She'd be all right.
She can handle it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't like heights.
That's right.
I don't like heights. I wouldn't.
You're not alone in that. Most people don't.
I don't love them. It's gotten easier to manage that over the years, but I'm not a big heights guy.
Yeah, heights. I understand that. Something in me snapped about heights. I don't know what happened. But it doesn't bother
the way
me.
You,
it doesn't bother me like it should.
The way you set over the edge of the roof
it
at
should,
one ITO.
It should bother me.
Yeah.
It should bother me more than it does. But something in me is like, it's all good. No, you're fine.
If I'm not feeling it, then I don't want it.
Yeah. I want to live.
All right, nice. What else?
How did you guys find Christianity, or how did you find your faith? How did you discover that?
Multiple times over.
Through Hot Cheetos.
I picked up a bag and I said, God is. Quoting Missions Trip. Multiple times over. I mean, I was raised in a Christian family. Probably did the salvation call to prayer every Sunday for a solid 2 years straight. So about rededicated my life about easily 108 times.
Yep.
408 times, you know, and before I realized I didn't have to do that. And then I had periodically as a teenager came to faith again. And then a young adult went through like a horrible depression and suicidal thoughts and like came back to the Lord again. So, I mean, salvation in scripture says it's a continuing.
You are
saved, but you are continually being saved. Like God is working through you. Mm-hmm. So when I was five is when I came unto salvation. Like, and I was like five, and it was in the top of my bed, and my dad led me to it. But my understanding of it grew over the years.
Yeah.
To where I, by the time I was in my 20s, I really was like, I know that I know that I know that I know I'm saved.
Yeah, mine's similar. Same, saved as like a little kid.
Yeah.
But I do remember I was 13 at a junior high, like at a summer camp. I was in junior high at a summer camp. And I just remember something clicked. And that was kind of like the moment I knew, like, okay, this wasn't just something that I felt as a kid and something my parents made me do.
Yeah.
But like, this is something I'm now choosing to believe in. It was the same time I felt a call to ministry that I felt like the Lord was like,
nice.
Hey, like I want, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to be doing that full time.
Yeah.
Know?
I didn't realize until I was about 30 that when the Lord actually called me to ministry at a younger age, I didn't understand it.
Really?
Yeah. I'm thinking back one day, I was like, I kind of asked the Lord, I'm like, what happened? Because something, I felt like a call from the Lord when I was 17 to preach. But when I got up, nothing I said theologically made any sense. And I was like, that doesn't really add up.
Yeah.
And I realized, I'm like, the Lord was kind of calling me at a young age. Mm. I didn't understand what he was, the timing or really what he was saying. So I just was like, now.
Right.
Like, and so then he did it again 3 years later.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
What about you, Erica? You answer that one.
I remember whenever I was seven, specifically like standing in my kitchen, just being like, I had gone to the Ark and, I grew up Baptist, and then whenever I was six, we moved to the Ark, and then after about maybe 6 months of going, I was like, wait, I really, really like this. I wanna go to heaven. I wanna be with Jesus. And so I remember saying that prayer with my dad in my kitchen. And then same thing, like just throughout junior high and high school, like rededicating my life, trying the best. And then early 20s, had a lot of just hardship, just like with depression. But through that, the Lord's like really, really grown me. And I'm really thankful for that.
Nice.
Great.
It's good. All right, what else?
What is a verse that keeps you grounded in your faith?
Ooh, good question.
I don't know if I have a verse necessarily. I think
that like keeps me safe. I don't know if it keeps me safe, but I have verses that like I call them life verses.
Yeah. It's like these are, I think lately, the last like couple years, I've really started to see and appreciate the Bible as a whole. You know, rather than like verses or rather than like chapters, but seeing like the narrative story that the Bible's telling and seeing how just like layered and connected it is.
Yeah.
Like seeing all it in that's what I think that's what's been fascinating to me lately. Again, I'm kind of answering the question, but it's more so just seeing how so many things over so many centuries connected. And that's such a fascinating thing to look at, you know?
I think one thing that's always just meant a lot to me, even to this day, there's parts of me that still don't understand it, but I enjoy that I'm still learning, is it's the thief on the cross in Luke. In the book of Mark, it actually talks about both thieves next to Jesus on the cross made fun of him, and they were mocking him. And then at some point in Luke, and only in the book of Luke, it mentions one of them stops mocking them and it turns to him. And the part that I love and has always challenged the earning side of who I am, of trying to get people's value and acceptance, is the fact that he did nothing for his salvation. Literally nothing. And still, he said, you'd be in paradise with me.
Died the day he got
saved. The day he recognized Jesus, like probably within hours.
He died.
If that?
Yeah.
He died.
So that completely debunks the whole earning your salvation thing. He did
nothing. Nothing. If we play the exception clause, then we got a problem how we're reading the New Testament. And then everything's an exception. And then it's like, then Jesus just doesn't operate that way, which then goes against Scripture. So that story's always meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I have to think about it again and again when I feel like I fail as a youth pastor. Of like, gosh, I've missed it. Lord, have I? Of that, just reminding of like, ultimately, I am the Lord's. I can't earn that.
Yeah, it's good.
Sweet.
All right, keep them rolling.
Even if they're dumb.
Michael, when's the last time you wore closed-toed shoes?
When was the last time I wore closed-toed shoes? At Mission Trip, I wore closed-toed shoes every time we had teen camp. Because those kids
just in case you had to throw down.
Just in case we had a fight, or because they were, I'm serious, or they were,
do you feel like you could kick pretty hard? Like if you had to?
Because I have flat feet, I know for a fact I can.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because what in karate is the only thing I was really good at.
You did karate?
When I was a kid. When I was able to kick really well. And so that was about, so it's like that full foot.
Yeah.
It was that full foot would hit you.
No arch.
That full foot, no arch would just slap you in the face. So you just get all the feet.
It's like a slap rather than
all the feet.
Rather than like a blunt.
Also, I'm going to be real transparent here. Those kids in the hood are going to roast you if you got open-toed shoes.
Yeah.
So I made sure I wore closed-toed shoes.
That's fair.
Every single day.
Yeah.
That was an active apparel choice.
Nate, okay, we have a question for you. I think this is a Clash question. I can't understand half of it, but I'm pretty sure
it
is.
Okay, hit me with it.
Lord Boyd, how do I run log bait better?
Okay, so this is where it's hard. Are they playing a log bait deck, or they're playing against a log bait?
So they said run, so they have
the deck.
How do you
run? How do you play a log bait? A log bait is all about trying to what it is bait out the log. So if your opponent has a log or a zap or a barrel, The goal is to try to get them to use it on one thing, and then you have another thing that won't get taken out by it. The key here with log bait is switching lanes. So you want to put something in one lane, draw out the log, and then jump to the other lane and push that lane. And so you're just going to alternate lanes. If you do it well enough and quick enough, you'll take one of the towers down pretty quick.
Sweet.
There you go. You listening back there? All right.
This.
Did you see me lock in for a second there?
This question, you guys kind of answered it earlier, but it has a little bit. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
They're asking where to start to reading in the Bible if they want to try to read the whole book, like if it's more of a shorter book or something they can kind of read that doesn't take as much time if they're new to reading.
So basically, give me the shortest book to read.
Is it Titus? Is that one?
Dude, yeah.
Titus is one.
First Peter, Second Philemon. First John, Second John, Third John. Yeah. Jude. The end of Jude, the doxology in Jude, it's brilliant. It's beautiful.
I think the Book of Psalms would be a good one, just because it is long.
It's very
long. But it's one. But listen, it's one you could do like a day. So it's like every day I'm going to read one psalm. Mm-hmm. So that's I feel like it's easier to Proverbs. If you read a Proverbs a day, that's a month.
My mom would say do 10 a day.
10 psalms?
It hurts after a while, because once you get deep into the book, you're like, I'm reading for an hour.
Once you hit Psalm 119.
But she would have me pray them out 10 a day. It's some cleansing to the soul. Okay, here's the thing about the Old Testament. First five books you need to read in order. First five books, Old Testament. If you're doing a book thing, you read them in order.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Skip around there. Because they're chronological. And it's important to the story you understand, like the law. It's called the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible. Also known in Jewish culture as the Torah. And so that's chronological. Most of those books are chronological until you get to about Job. Then it's not.
There's speculation Job.
Here's the thing about Job, though. Yeah, speculation that's written first. Still, here's the thing about Job. The book of Job. Do not read the book of Job in pieces. You need to read Job in whole. Because everybody likes to pick apart Job and be like, my life sucks. It must be like said scripture in Job. I'm like, just read the full passage of Job.
That's good advice. It's like, not, just find 2 hours and just sit and read it.
It's actually not just about suffering.
Yeah.
Like, that is the predominant message of Job. But when everyone refers to himself as Job, you got to take Job as the whole. Job also ended his life blessed and with greater wisdom than he ever had before.
Yep.
But that's always missing. No one ever refers to their life as like, I went through suffering and then God had really restored me. No one ever uses that as their testimony of Job, even though that actually is the full story of Job. So Job's one of those books you need to read the whole book before I talk to you about the book of Job. The minor prophets are a little hard to follow because a lot of it's about, you know, Israel's destruction. Mm-hmm. They're washed away. But if you're going to read books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Call the Gospels.
Call the Gospels. The book you should read after, if you read any of these, the book you should read after is the book of Acts.
Yeah.
That chronologically, someone could say, almost like, quote unquote, the fifth gospel. It is the Holy Spirit moving the church. So that's the simple part of it. We can go into deeper breakdowns of it.
I always recommend Song of Solomon.
If you're married, that's probably the only time it's going to like make you feel comfortable. But Song of Solomon. Everyone's like, is that like what you think it means? Yes. The answer would be, it is what you think it means.
Yeah, maybe save that one.
Save that one.
Just log that book away for a while.
That's a marriage one. Yeah, Lord.
All right. Maybe we got time for like two more?
Yep.
Yeah, they want you to do rock, paper, scissors.
On shoot?
On shoot.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yep.
Best two out of three or what?
Yeah.
Best two out of three. All right.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. See? I knew. What?
Two out of three, baby.
Didn't want to change.
No L's.
Rock.
No L's. What was that song we sang at Mission Trip? I ain't taking no L's. We definitely
didn't sing it.
Oh, y'all didn't in the teen one.
No. Y'all sang it in kids camp?
Yeah. How was it? How did it go, Erica? I ain't taking no L's. Something like that.
Yeah, from Force Frank.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. See? Good thing I sang off tune because we're not going to get copyright.
Next question.
That's how that works.
I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
That a lot of students have asked me. Right. What is the best way to get plugged in to ARC Youth? If you're new or if you're incoming sixth grader, what do you recommend?
Oh, it kind of depends on what
you
want. That's
a good question.
Honestly. If you want to like have a Christian hangout crew, like Wednesdays is kind of the culture. If you're a little quieter and you want to kind of receive in that way, Sundays is probably best for you. If you really want to learn, like especially this semester, how to pray and you want to serve, like you want to get your hands to something, then student reps on Sunday nights throughout the year is for you. And that's kind of, you know, the basis. Vibe night is for non-Christians, so typically they're not the ones asking those questions. But
yeah.
If you really want to see what evangelism looks like kind of in a mass scale,
yeah,
that's also a side. So I would say as much as we pitch this is how you should get involved, if it's not in your heart, you're not really going to do it. So you got to determine what do I actually want and then look at the different avenues of what happens in our youth.
Yeah. Friends is a big pull I've noticed here. Like kids who stay plugged in 9 times out of 10 are really connected in with people here. And I guess maybe I shouldn't even say friends, cause I think some are connected with staff. Some are connected with interns. Some of the junior hires are connected with the high schoolers. So I think like, put yourself out there and make a connection. And I think sometimes people show up and they get nervous and they get really like socially insecure. Just put yourself out there. If you see a group of people, like go talk to them. Or even better, invite somebody. If you're here alone and you're like, I don't know anybody. There's no
then
one here. Bring your own crew.
Yeah.
Bring your own people. But don't people get so nervous about putting themselves out there? And I don't, you know, we've got, that's why we're so intentional with activities.
Yeah,
it's gonna take some effort. We got basketball. If you like, go play basketball. You'll meet some people. We've got that's why we got like coloring books and like bracelets and stuff.
For you to kind of
stuff to do around and with other people. So get plugged in and connected with people, and that'll help you.
True.
Sweet. One last question.
All right, end with a banger.
Yeah, if you were to spend 1 hour with God today, what would you do?
Well, I already did.
Yeah, do I want to give you the tool answer? The Holy Spirit really loose with me. I already spent my time with the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I would worship him for an hour, you know, like aside from like the Bible, you know,
we're talking more like heaven based, the fullness of the presence of God.
I guess, like, would I ask a question? Is there something I would want to know? Is that kind of what the thought?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I have a hard time not answering this like a real piece of work.
Because it's like, realistically, I probably wouldn't do anything but worship, because that's all that happens in the Bible.
To my understanding of being in the fullness of his presence, most people are really scared. I think it was Isaiah's, like, I didn't have any strength. I felt like a dead man. So I think what I would want to do and what would actually happen would probably not line up.
Yeah.
Of course, I would have questions, but I think I just would not.
If you had one question, what would you ask?
If I actually cared about the question,
I was just stubborn.
Like, I'm going to ask it.
You've already worshipped for eternity.
Like, Gideon, now like, you're not real. Like, geez. I would ask, like, what when people die? From sickness, and they've been praying for healing. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah,
like how do you feel and see these things, like from the other side?
Dang, that was deeper than my question. My question is, why do we only have 2 hands and not 3?
Oh my gosh,
why just two hands? Why not just one?
I hope that was satisfying. I hope someone was satisfied with both ends of the spectrum of that.
Both questions were fire.
Yep.
Okay.
I think that's all we have time for. This episode is sponsored by Rolled Gold Selects Dill Pickle, flavored with natural flavors. It gives you a flavorful, twisty crunch. And
this also is guaranteed fresh. Sponsored by Latinas.
Latinas.
Oh, no.
And that's where we'll end it. Thanks for listening and watching wherever you're at, joining us on the live. We'll do this again.
Yeah.
Joining us for AYC podcast snack time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.